We have two. We have Psalm 130 and Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And from Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me? He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. And he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. A word from our Holy Scripture. The ending of that scripture reading always speaks enough because he told them not to tell anybody. But we're hearing about it. It didn't follow directions very well. So the two scripture readings that we're focusing on today are ones that start from places of grief, sadness, and fear. Psalm 130 is a psalm of lament. The writer is crying out to God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O God. This is a lament for the nation of Israel. The leaders and the people happen to be following the teachings and the guidelines of the scriptures. They've fallen short of the expectations and the guidelines set forth by God, and the writer of the psalm is fearful, worrying, lamenting about what is to come of Israel and its people. Then our gospel reading from Mark is about a personal situation of fear and grief. First, the story of Jesus raising the synagogue leader, Jairus' young daughter, from the dead, and second, about healing of the hemorrhaging woman by Jesus. The writer of Mark tells us that Jairus' daughter had been ill for quite some time, and she was near death when Jesus was summoned to see her. By the time Jesus arrived, she had already died. The family of this girl were dead and saved. Friends who were fear and worry about this daughter that they loved so much. They had reached out to Jesus from this place of pain and fear. And there's the story of an unmarried woman. She came to Jesus with her issue disguised in the depths of a large crowd of people. She was faceless, nameless, anonymous, and she had to be, because if anyone in that day and age had known her medical condition, she would have been punished for being in a large crowd of people. It was a very big taboo for her to be with others while she was bleeding. Anything to do with women's issues, even just usual female monthly cycles, meant that women had to be shut away and not encountered by others. When she reached out and touched Jesus, that was nearly a crime. She would have certainly been more isolated than she already was, had others known of her issues. Her brashness in the context of that day and age would have been shocking to those around her. And so it took great courage for her to be the one to own up to him and touch Jesus' clothing. And he reacted and asked the crowd, "Who touched me?" Because she would have been so afraid of further isolation and pain when her condition was compromised. This story, though, is not so much about Jesus as it is about the unnamed woman. Because she believed, she reached out. She was not only rash, she overcame all kinds of fear and desperation. She reached out in hope. She exercised her power, whereas in the previous story, Jesus exorcised the power of death when raising Jairus' daughter. Both the young girl, Jairus' daughter, and the older woman in the crowd were restored to life and to a place of health and belonging within that community. In the world of medicine, especially Western medicine, the goal is to seek a cure for illness and injuries. But cure and healing are not always the same thing. Healing is what we're speaking of today. Reaching out in belief can promote and restore healing. Healing is the community reaching out also back to include those who have been excluded. And so this makes me wonder, what forms of healing are needed in our communities, especially when we pay attention to those of us on the edges, such as Indigenous peoples, women, racialized people, or those of the LGBTQ community? Who's crying out for the deaths? How do these stories that we listen to today speak to those cries? Today's scripture stories are all challenging stories, especially on a Sunday when we generally gather in our communities coast to coast to celebrate our country's confederation. This is a party. How can these stories possibly relate to a day when we celebrate Canada Day? Well, a day like Canada Day is not necessarily a day of celebration for all Canadians. Last year, we marked the occasion of 150 years since the time of Canada's Confederation. It was a year of parties and celebration for many across the country. But, as we have all observed in the news reports, for many First Nations people in Canada, the anniversary of Confederation brings up negative or conflicted emotions. We saw this last year and every year in many reactions by First Nations people to Canada 150 events throughout the summer. This is a very hotly debated and contentious issue for many people, Native and non-Native, and there is much disagreement and uncertainty for many about how to handle Canada's reconciliation with First Nations people. I know that some of you right now are probably a little bit put off that I will be talking about this from the pulpit, and maybe a little squirmy whenever we talk about this issue in church. And I acknowledge that we may not all see eye to eye on this topic or agree on our ideas about how to move forward with this situation. But I think and I hope that we can all agree on one thing. As a result of colonization, the reserve system and treaties and residential schools, there has been much pain, much hurt, sadness, and anger. story of Basil and Charlotte. Some of you may have heard this story on CBC Radio's The Current this week. Basil was a Syrian refugee boy who was resettled in PEI with his family. In school, he was working on a heritage fair presentation on Native residential schools in Canada, and he interviewed Charlotte, a victim born, for his presentation. They became fast friends, and Basil learned a lot from Charlotte's lived experience about the history of First Nations children's experiences in that system of residential schools. Through the interview, Charlotte and Basil's ongoing friendship and mutual respect is very evident as the interview unfolds. And Charlotte talks about her belief that Basil is a great example of someone who is poised to become a worthy citizen of Canada today, upon his swearing in ceremony on Canada Day, because of his understanding and compassion for those who have suffered. Basil is asked in the interview what he would say at the swearing in ceremony, and he responds that he wants to be respectful of Canada, but also respectful of the history of the challenges of First Nations. So he plans to say, "I will faithfully observe the laws of Canada, including treaties with Indigenous peoples." When Charlotte is asked in this interview, "What are your plans for Canada Day?" she says, "It's a holiday with mixed emotions. On one hand, celebrating being a proud Canadian. On the other hand, I see a celebration of the past that was not kind to us. I will celebrate Canada Day as I have for so many years, children and their grandchildren, and watch the fireworks to finish the day. I'm a proud Canadian, as well as a proud First Nation woman." This is an incredible example of healing in our community. A young boy and grandmother from world apart find common ground, understanding, and friendship over their shared experiences of having to leave their homes, their people, their ways, and live beyond fear towards healing. Our communities and our world can feel like a scary place with the politics, distrust, violence, and disputes all around us. Our personal lives can feel uncertain and out of control with health concerns, family issues, economic insecurities, and various other uncertainties. But we are here to help each other heal. When we are hurt, this is part of following the way of Jesus. Just as Jesus healed people, we can help bring healing to others as his followers. That is our mission, each of us, singly and all of us.